Hey, this is Thaddeus.
And this is Jeremiah.
And this is the Dense Muffin.
The Dense Muffin tackles theological and biblical topics, questions, and interests, referring to the gospel of Jesus Christ through the study of his word and conversations with other Christians who seek him daily.
Hey, welcome back. Today's episode is on spiritual warfare. Doozy. It's dense.
Like a muffin.
Yes.
That's just, we'll be here all week,
yeah,
folks.
Yeah, we're here all week. Just kidding. Until the next episode, we're here. And then beyond that, we're here. So spiritual warfare. Maya, what do you think?
I think, you want my, just like my skin deep,
what's your first impression?
First impression of spiritual warfare.
Spiritual warfare.
Honestly, before doing any research on it or like thinking about it at all, you know, it kind of sounds fantastical. Mm. It kind of sounds like something that you read about in the Bible, but you don't really experience as a modern Christian, as someone living in, you know, the very digital age that we live in. Mm. It doesn't feel like something that we face as often. It my first impressions of it were as like, okay, that was cool when it happened, but it doesn't happen anymore.
Mm.
It's kind of how it felt like when I first started looking at it and feeling and like thinking about it, which is obviously not the truth.
Yeah.
It's not the case.
Yeah.
we're going to talk a lot about that during this podcast, but this episode, but, that's my first impressions of it were it was kind of like something that was experienced by like first century Christians and then kind of died out over time.
Mm. Yeah. I would agree with you on the fantastical side of it. Like, and I think that's, you know, we'll get into this a little bit more, but that's one of the errors that humanity lives off of, is thinking too much, thinking too much of the spiritual realm as a fantastical realm, when in reality, like, the battles that are fought are not fought in physical earth. Like, it's in the spiritual realm.
Yeah. You know,
angels and demons are fighting constantly.
Principalities and powers of the air.
Right. And so I would agree with you. The fantastical side of it, when I became a Christian, when I was 17, I thought, I didn't really think anything of it. No, that's a lie. When I became a Christian at 17, the darkness of like the spiritual realm was surrounding me. Mm-hmm. Like, I dealt with a lot of spiritual warfare. Going into my first couple of years being a baby Christian, because I knew that there was something dark that was trying to attack me. Mm-hmm. To the point where, like, even after becoming Christian, like, I still was having suicidal thoughts. I was still having these disgusting thoughts come to my head, and just random bouts of depression. And that's all spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
I'd be lying if I said that that's not going on anymore, because it's every day. Like, mm-hmm. It's a constant thing. And so, like you said a little bit, you said that, it's something that when you first, your first impressions of spiritual warfare was that,
it was like fantastical.
No, that it was only experienced by the first century Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, yeah, you were getting into a little bit, but like that's definitely not true, because the devil wants nothing more. His main goal is to get our eyes away from Jesus and to get our gaze away from God. But his even more of his goal is to make people believe that he doesn't exist, or to make people believe that.
God or Satan?
Oh, that Satan doesn't exist.
Gotcha. So yeah. Satan is trying to disprove his own existence.
And so that way he can have more
power.
Yeah, influence on ourselves.
That's fine. Don't worry about
everything
it.
Everything good?
Yeah. I just took a piece off the chair. It's all good.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
Do you have a quote?
Oh, yeah. I have a quote here by C.S. Lewis, great theologian. This is a quote from his book called The Screwtape Letters. Mm. This is a great book. I'm halfway through it right now, but the quote here says, "There are two equal and opposite errors into which our human race fall into believing about the devil. One is, like I said, the disbelief of his existence, and the other is to believe way too much, to get too invested into the devil and the demonic realm." Mm. Even also, like, getting too invested in the angelic realm, like paying too much attention to angels, paying too much attention to angels and demons alike.
Because to only God goes the glory.
Right, right, exactly. To God be the glory, and alone, only him. So I think that's something, yeah, we need to address first, is like who Satan is. He is what it says in the Bible. He's a liar and the father of lies. And what's interesting too is that I heard this somewhere, but we as like humans, as Christians, will sometimes say like, "Oh, the devil's putting this thought in my head," or the devil is making me think these things, when we know who he is and what his title is and what his attributes are. So when we say those things, it's almost redundant, if that's the right word. Or irrelevant.
Oh,
because
irrelevant. There you go. Redundant and irrelevant.
I always get the two confused. it's irrelevant because we know who he is. Right. We know that he lies and he's the father of lies. So why are we saying that he's putting thoughts in our head? And also, the devil can't put thoughts in your head. He can't read your mind. Mm. Only God can do that.
Yeah. He can't know your thoughts. I think that's what the Bible. The Bible would
say. Yeah, God says he can't know your thoughts. He can whisper in your ear, but what it also says about the devil is that he's a roaring lion looking for someone to feed on.
Yeah,
looking to devour Christians. So stay vigilant and aware of who he is, but also don't get too invested into who he is. It's about having a healthy awareness.
Be aware, but not obsessed.
Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, for most of you who don't know, is that I'm a huge horror movie fan. And so some people may look at that and say, like, you're paying too much attention to the demonic realm. And in reality, I don't believe I am. I may like the movies, and they're dark, and they probably not good for my health, my spiritual health. But
it's not that bad.
Movies, these things that I'm interested in, are not swaying my faith.
No,
like, and that's where it gets to be a problem.
And if it were, then you'd have to call the question: how strong is your faith?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's all about your heart posture when you're watching that content. I wouldn't say that for every single piece of content out there, because you shouldn't be looking at pornography and thinking, this isn't swaying my faith. It's still demonic. Yeah. It's demonic to do that. It's still the devil influencing you.
Also, I feel like that kind of stuff's also a little bit more intimate as well.
Yeah.
Because like when it comes to, this is a little bit of a tangent, but when it comes to like horror and stuff, that's not something that it's like a different category, obviously, but like pornography is like a direct interference with how God views sex and how it's supposed to be. And so like I think we're gonna have an episode on that eventually, but yeah, I think that's just a little bit different.
Yeah,
I think I saw where you're coming from, but
yeah. Sorry, yeah. I was kind of going on tangent there. But there are two equal yet opposite errors that humans can do. And we just touched on how we can get too invested, too obsessed with the devil and in the demonic realm and the angelic realm even. But we also have to remember who the devil is. So we know that what do we know about the devil?
He's the master of lies, like we just said. Mm-hmm. I think he's referenced. Man, I should have prepared verses for this, but I think he's also referenced as the king of the earth.
Yeah, he's the king of the
worldly powers.
Of the worldly powers.
Yeah. And that he God gave him dominion of the earth,
mm-hmm.
not over, but of.
Mm-hmm.
That he seeks to. Oh. I see where you're getting at. Sorry. He put one up for me to hit and I missed it. that he wants to take the attention off of God.
Right.
And so, like Thad was saying, he wants to take the attention off of God by stealing the spotlight himself or by shining the light back at humanity and like in the opposite way of atheism and like I think that's the, I can't think of any or like agnosticism. I don't know if that's a word.
That's the word.
That is the word. I said it right.
That's the right word.
yep. But like, or you'll hear like the theory of evolution and all these other things, mm-hmm. and like how we like to prove to ourselves that we are the ultimate power, and that we have no need for a god and we have no need for a devil, and so taking the spotlight off of himself, but also off of God is another thing that he likes to do. Mm-hmm. And to make it seem like I was saying, like spiritual warfare at the first seems fantastical. That's what Satan wants me to think.
Right.
Satan wants me to think, and Satan wants you to think, and wants Thad to think, wants everybody to think that this is stuff that doesn't exist, or you need to be super involved in it, like we were just talking about.
Yeah.
But like doesn't exist. And I feel like that's the more prevailing, especially in the Western culture, I feel like that's the more prevailing mindset, is that stuff is fantastical, it's fairy tales, it doesn't exist, so you don't need to pay any attention to it.
Right.
And so when we do that, we inadvertently give Satan more power.
Right.
And we give him more influence over our lives, because if he's not influencing us, then it's just nature. It's just our own nature. It's just,
right.
Which God also warns about.
Well, yeah. And we also need, like, yeah, you're right. The devil is trying to sway our gaze away from God, but or also on things that distract us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are things in this life, like, wait. Scratch all that. Go back to what you were saying. What are you just saying?
I forgot. Dang it.
About nature and like human.
Oh yeah. So, I mean, not so. I mean, yes, Christians can fall into this too, but it's mainly for like secularism and for atheists too. Is like pointing the spotlight on to like, you know, if you're dismissing the spiritual and like pretending that it's not real, it's not even a factor of life, then when bad things happen or you're influenced to do bad things, you have nothing to blame but like nature in and of itself, and like or like your own like chemicals in your brain, like you blame these things that are all material, that are all physical, when really there's a whole other world that is just as real, if not more so, the spiritual realm, which is affecting everything in the natural at the same time. And so when he takes the spotlight off of the spiritual realm entirely, eliminating God, eliminating himself, I'm talking about Satan doing this, eliminating God, eliminating himself, eliminating demonic and angelic powers, then we fall into this other trap where we think that everything is merely physical, and that everything that happens is a result of the physical and natural realms.
Mm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Okay.
That's good stuff.
So yeah. Sometimes I can't tell if that is silently agreeing or silently disagreeing.
Honestly, my mind is just thinking to the next topic. No, I'm just kidding. My mind is always going in different motions.
Yeah.
On these episodes, but I know there's a verse, and like you said too, I need to come more prepared to this, because I know verses, I don't know addresses of verses in the Bible.
I'm the same way.
I know scripture,
but I don't know where they're at. It's like knowing someone but not don't know where they live.
I think there's a verse in like either one of the Gospels where Jesus has sent out the 72 or sent out the 12 disciples, right?
72.
He does send out 72.
Oh,
the 72 sorry. Disciples.
I was thinking.
So there's like, he sends out the 12 first to mm-hmm. go heal and raise the dead and cast demons out of people. He sends them with the authority, with the power of the kingdom to do that. And then later on, he sends out 72 more people to do the same. Not the point I was going to make, but
sorry.
In one of the Gospels where he does send out the 12, he talks about when they come back, they're boasting about how the spirits and the demons were obeying their commands. And Jesus himself is like, this is me paraphrasing, but he's like, whoa, like they're not listening to you because you are the one doing it. They're listening to you because I'm the one doing it. Like God the Father is casting the kingdom of God is the reason you have the power. Like God is the reason why you have the power to cast out demons.
Right.
He even says in that same passage, he's like, I saw Satan fall like lightning to the earth. And that's how quick like Satan was cast out of heaven with, is it 2/3 of the angels?
One third
of the angels as his adversaries, like were all fell to the earth like lightning. And so Jesus is trying to make his disciples hyper vigilant or even just hyper aware of what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And I think Christians, we also need to understand that too. What I was going to say is that on the basis of this verse I was talking about, the devil can use our spiritual gifts that God gives us against us or against people that we should be loving, that we should be caring for.
Do you have any examples?
For instance, evangelism.
Mm.
So evangelism is a doorway, an inevitable doorway that spiritual warfare is going to happen. And I know that this episode is mainly supposed to be about spiritual warfare, and we're focusing a lot on the devil, but it's important to be aware.
He's the enemy,
and that's the elephant in the room. Yeah. He's the enemy. He's the reason why spiritual warfare is around.
Exactly.
And I think it's also telling about God's character too, about why how spiritual warfare can still happen. Because God loves us deeply and cares for us deeply, and he wants us to go through trials, whether it's physical or spiritual in this life, to prove basically the endurance of our faith.
Right. Well, I mean, and if you want to get a biblical example about that too, also, I had another thought too, is another way to gauge God's character and spiritual warfare is when we are stronger in our faith, I believe that we would experience more.
Yeah,
spiritual
absolutely.
Warfare. Like, if a biblical example, Job.
Yeah.
Job was, honestly, out of everybody in the Bible that I can think of at the moment, probably the strongest in his faith when it comes to physical and worldly trials and spiritual battles that he's gone through. Because Job loses literally, I mean, this is a form of spiritual warfare because Satan is the one who antagonized him through all this using physical means, which is another reason why spiritual warfare is very important, because it manifests itself in tangible physical ways as well.
Absolutely.
Job literally lost everything. I think except for one of his wives.
Just
his wife. Was it just one wife?
Yeah, he just had one wife.
I can't remember.
He had one wife and like 10 children.
Yeah. He lost literally everything except for his wife.
Yeah.
And even his own health. He lost his own health even, because he had boils and other things. Did he not? Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I just making sure. But through all of that, he came out stronger in his faith and through experiencing those. And so that shows God's character, because God allowed Satan to do this thing. Satan didn't have the power to do it himself. Mm-hmm. He had to literally ask for permission, which I think is super boss of God.
Yeah, but God was like, he's the one that brought up Job.
Exactly.
He's like, have you taken a look at Job? He's the most...
He's pretty baller, honestly.
He's my most faithful guy.
Yeah.
You should see how... And then, no, the devil's like, well, he's only faithful to you because of the things that you give him.
Mm.
He's like, all right, I'll allow you to
take all it away,
mess up his life.
Yeah. make him hit rock bottom.
Right. But you just can't kill him. And then we'll see.
That also brings up a... God saying that brings up an interesting... Sorry, I'm getting off track.
What? No, go ahead.
Saying that you can't kill him, like telling Satan specifically, like that raises the questions, can spiritual warfare kill?
I believe so, yeah.
You believe so?
Spiritual warfare, 100%, can kill you if you are not protecting yourself against it.
And I'm not just talking about like, because drugs are another gateway into bad spiritual... Yeah. Influence.
Well, I'm talking about suicide.
Oh.
Suicide, I think, is the most prevalent result of death from spiritual warfare.
Mm. Like, okay, I guess this is a question for a whole other episode, so I'll just save it for something else, but I was like wondering, like, can spirits physically kill you? Like, without oppressing and influencing you, can they just outright kill you? I don't know if that's possible.
I don't think so. I don't know that answer, actually.
Okay, and so that's
that might not make it to this episode. Yeah,
and that's probably something for a whole nother topic.
Yeah,
but
yeah, it's a good question though.
The amount of times that we're saying this is something for a whole nother episode.
That's basically what the podcast is. Yeah, though.
It pretty much is. We have a hard time staying on topic. We apologize in advance.
Yeah, no, we're gonna land the plane here though. So, with spiritual warfare, there's some really good resources out there, but The main one is the Word of God. I mean, we have to stay invested in the Word of God and delving into it, using it as spiritual bread and spiritual water, like to you know, quench our thirst and satisfy our hunger for these things. If we also it says, you know, Romans 6, you know, the main thing to help us stay protected from spiritual warfare is to put on the full armor of God.
Right.
And that doesn't just say, just put on the boots, just put on the
right,
the breastplate. No, it says put on the full armor of God.
Yeah, we have to be diligent.
Right. We have to be diligent. We have to be disciplined. Like, and I'm not saying disciplined as in a punishment, or it's not,
no,
not to punish ourselves. Like, a discipline is different from a punishment. Like, we have to be disciplined even when we're not motivated to do so.
Yeah. And like, yeah, I like that you're mentioning, it's not being punished, but being disciplined in the fact that like we are diligent. I don't know. I feel like diligent is another word that can be non-confused.
Yeah. When putting on the full armor of God, it's putting on the full armor of God and being diligent in protecting ourselves from the devil and his schemes. Mm. That's what it says in the full verse there. So Romans 6 does break down what each part of the. Oh, we got off track from what I was talking about, spiritual gifts.
We got way off track on that. I think it was like 10 minutes ago.
And we're coming back around with the train. All right. So pinning the armor of God thing right now, going back to what I was saying about spiritual gifts, like what you're saying back there, about how when we want to do something that is for the kingdom of God and for glorifying the Lord, the devil's going to attack you more than ever. I was always told something, a phrase that I always remember to myself when I'm about to do something that I start to get like these unwanted thoughts. I start to get these
anxieties
or like just no motivation to do them, even though I know it's the Spirit of God telling me to go do it. I always remember that when you're close to doing something, when you're so close to doing something for the kingdom of God, that's when the devil is going to attack you the most.
Yeah.
And that comes in waves of anxiety. It comes in waves of even tiredness, exhaustion.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but when I've been teaching the Word of God to students, in the past, like I would yawn a lot And really? I didn't know why I was yawning.
Wow.
Because I'm just like...
So it can manifest itself in even those small little things.
Right. It can just manifest in physical ways.
In any way that... Like, I 100% know what you're talking about. Because literally, the past few times that I've served on worship, specifically with CLI Bennington, that's where I serve with worship mostly. Sorry, you're not going to... It's like insider baseball. You're not going to know what that is. Anyway.
That's okay. That's his church that he's serving at.
Yeah. Like literally the past few times I've literally had thoughts come into my mind while I'm playing. Like, I could have just said I was sick, or I could have just said that I couldn't make it. I could have just said that, but like having those thoughts, and like, I've noticed that too, with like other things too, or like, during like the past sermon that I was listening to, I was having thoughts, and like the verse, there's a verse that always comes back again. I know the verse, but I don't know the address. I want to believe that Jesus is saying something here. I can't remember if it was Jesus. All I know is this is in one of the Gospels. It's in the New Testament. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
But it was talking about, he uses this analogy of having to beat your flesh into submission.
Hmm.
And flesh, I would like to think that the flesh is a part of spiritual warfare. Maybe not in the most direct way, but I mean, I feel like it plays a factor.
Sorry, my facial features don't do it justice.
Well, I'm also trying. Yeah, I try to gauge, because Thad has done a lot more research about some of the stuff than I have. He's also a little older and wiser than I am, so I defer to him.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
I've dealt with a lot of spiritual warfare in my life.
Well, I think, okay, I shouldn't say that flesh is directly a part of spiritual warfare, but Satan can use it against you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
The
nature of our fleshly desires is something that the devil uses all the time.
Yeah. And so, the past, sermon that I listened to was given by, Glenn Lawson. I don't know. You may not live in the same region of America that we live in, but if look up City Light Bennington, they have really good sermons.
Yeah.
They're on YouTube.
Shout out to Glenn Lawson.
Glenn Lawson, yeah. He gave a sermon on temptation. And I mean, temptation can come from multiple sources. It can come from it can be a part of spiritual warfare. It can come from external, like you're saying, the devil whispers thoughts into our thoughts to us and things to us, but also it can come internally from our flesh. But I don't even remember what my point was, but I was going with all this.
But the flesh is just as part of the spiritual warfare as spiritual warfare is.
Yeah, like it can play just as big a role as the devil himself can, and he uses that again to take your gaze off of the Lord and off of what he has for you. And he uses that and tries to replace, because it tries to replace the desires given to you by God with desires of the flesh.
Yeah.
Whether that is like lust or greed or envy, like the things that us humans inherently have because we are born into a sin nature, mm-hmm. that Satan will use those aspects of ourselves and our personalities to eat away at us, and he doesn't know from our thoughts, but he knows by watching our tendencies and watching what we are most likely to fall into, because he's not omnipresent, but he has eyes and ears everywhere. He senses.
He's been around for centuries,
well,
millennia,
the beginning of time.
Yeah,
and so
I always say that the devil is the world's best human behavioralist. He knows what human's behavior is.
He
knows what makes us fall. He knows what makes us sin.
Exactly. So he'll play to those parts of the flesh nature that you're weakest to. He'll play to those and try to get you to stumble. And oftentimes, unfortunately, he's successful. And so it's like you were saying, going back to what you're saying about putting the full armor of God and being mm-hmm. diligent in those ways. We have to be disciplined and diligent and putting that on every single day. And so that's why it's so important to be the first thing that you do every day, to whether it's just a quick prayer or you want to do your whole devotion, whatever, like because everybody's day-to-day is vastly different.
Mm-hmm.
But it is always important to start your day with the Lord, because if you don't, and I've noticed this in my own personal life, if I don't start my day off in communion with God. Those are when I have my weakest days, spiritually, emotionally, physically. Literally, the only power that we have is in Christ Jesus. And if we're not taking advantage of that, if we're not putting on the armor and equipping our sword of the Spirit and, you know, utilizing everything that God has given to us and everything that all the resources that we have through the Spirit and through Jesus, then we are just setting ourselves up for failure.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's super important, especially for believers, to be putting on the armor of God, like you're saying, and to be diligent in that, because if not, we're going to fall snare to Satan's traps that he puts everywhere.
Yeah.
He's at every, like you were saying, he's a ferocious lion in waiting to devour us.
Yeah.
And so at any chance that he gets, he's going to try to do that. Like, for example, like a practical example that I can think of is like when it comes to like dating and marriage. And Thad actually did our premarital with me and my almost wife a couple more weeks. And something that Satan will lure couples into is like, especially when it comes to sex.
Yeah.
He'll dangle it in front of you when you're, before you're married, as like, oh, it doesn't matter. Yeah. You know, God doesn't care. Like, right. he'll put all these things in, and then after marriage, he'll try to ruin that aspect of your relationship.
Right.
He does everything that he can to ruin what God has put in place. And so whatever God says, it's going to be the opposite.
Yeah.
And so that, I think that's the kind of the basis of spiritual warfare. And it's, I think it's a good thing to remember as well, is when we're facing those things, to bring it back to the Bible and bring it back to what God says about a certain topic. Because sometimes there is like gray areas where we're not sure what the right thing is, and we might be tempted to do something and not be 100% sure where we fall on it. And so it's always best to take things back to the Scripture and back to what God says about any given topic.
Mm. That's really good, Jeremiah.
Thank you.
Very good thought. Something that did come to mind when I was listening to you talk was something that Pastor David Platt said while in one of his sermons in the book of Galatians.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find it in my Bible. I wrote it down. Well, he was talking about Galatians and, oh my goodness, where is it? Oh, about like temptation. His quote here, it's in Galatians 4, verses 8 through 9. He says, maybe the devil is not tempting you in the wrong things. Maybe it's the temptation of doing the right things. And so there are certain things out there that the devil can use that we think is the right thing to do. So, like, giving generously. Sometimes, so God does not want an impulsive heart giving generously. Like, that's not why he says give your tithes, like, or give your, you know, what, tithes, talent, and treasure, or whatever it is. And time, talent, treasure is basically what tithes are. Does that make sense?
Time, talent, and treasure, I think.
So those are all forms of tithing.
Mm-hmm.
And God does not call for an impulsive heart to give. But sometimes we as humans, we think we're tempted by the devil to give generously, thinking that it'll bring us more favor with God. When in reality, that temptation of doing the right thing is actually doing the wrong thing. Because it's a wrong motive.
Right. And so, that's a good thing to outline, too, is that doing the right things for the wrong reasons is still doing the wrong thing.
You're right.
Because, like, another, like, again, with tithing, again, too, another thing is, too, is, I can't remember the address for the scripture, but it says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing.
Yeah.
And so,
that's if you're... That's Matthew.
Matthew. Oh, yeah. Thank you. I appreciate you. So, like, another thing, too, is I feel like some people can fall into the trap of kind of keeping a spiritual scorecard against other believers of like, oh, I tithe this amount of money each month, or like making a show of what you're doing, and like kind of like what the Pharisees did when they would pray on the street corners, and they would do all of these things to kind of like build their reputation, is things that we need to avoid also. And I think another thing when it comes to spiritual warfare too, is that Satan uses those things also. Like you were just saying, Satan will use those things that seem good, and he will turn it for evil. The same way that God turns everything to good, Satan does the opposite. He turns everything to evil.
Right.
He twists what God intends and makes it not so good anymore.
Yes. So my encouragement, I guess I'll ask you too, Jeremiah, like, what is an encouragement or application people can take away from our ramblings?
Yeah.
Remember, y'all, we're not experts in this, right. but
we do have experience. We are spirit-filled Christians. Yes. So, I mean, and if we say something that you theologically know is wrong, reach out and let us know, because we don't want to be spreading false anything.
Yeah, please don't hesitate to reach out.
Yeah. We are not above reproach.
Right. Exactly.
So I think my biggest thing is kind of like a two-parter. One, recognize spiritual warfare in your life. Do your best to realize where that is. Maybe take a week and analyze. Like, just be over analytical. Find out where in your life you feel like you're being maybe more tempted, or there are things that, I don't know, just aren't adding up in the way that you think they should, or I don't know exactly how to measure it. That would be, I don't know, there's probably resources that you could find of how to measure. I mean, I think
you could probably make a list.
Yeah, make a list
of things that you do in your life. Maybe make a list of everything you do in your life.
Yeah, and then you have it all right in front of you, and you can see those things. And then, especially when it comes to sin tendencies, find out exactly where you're being tempted, whether it's pornography, you know,
finances,
that's another big one. Maybe lying, slothfulness. I know for me, that's been a big one, is slothfulness for
laziness.
My life. Laziness, yeah. Slothfulness.
Laziness, for those who don't know what slothfulness is.
Yeah.
But there are certain things in his life that can tie you down.
Exactly. And so I think analyzing, figuring out what those things are, being aware of those things, praying against those things. And then that's the first part of what I was thinking, is to just be aware, because it is a lot more prevalent than any of us even think. But like Kathad was saying, don't be too obsessed about it, but at least just acknowledge that it's there and that it does play a role in your life and your spiritual walk with God. And then the second thing as an encouragement is kind of that second part of like the back half of the podcast, we were talking about putting on the spiritual armor of God. And so reading your Bible, praying, being in community with other Christians, worship is a big one. Reminding yourself, this has been a big for me, is reminding myself that I'm not in control of my life. As much as I'd like to believe that I am, and as much as it seems from my perspective like I'm in control, I'm not. And so it really takes pressure off of me.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I know what I can do. I'm in my life. I go to work. I do this. I do that. I do this.
What you can control in this life is how you react to things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, realizing that God is in control of all circumstances that's outside of you, and you can only control how you react. And so how you do that is by putting on the armor of God, and like you said, praying, worshiping, reading your Bible, in community with other Christians. So doing those things to kind of literally like the analogy suggests, to protect yourself from negative spiritual warfare, from the things that Satan's trying to tempt you with. And honestly, if you're like, you realize these things and you aren't sure what to do with them, bring them to your pastor or a spiritual leader in your life, someone who you can trust, to help you through those things. Because it is so much more real than any of us ever realize.
Yeah. The spiritual realm is much more real than you believe it is, or it could be. It's more real than you think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really good encouragement.
Thank you. What about you? You have anything else to tell
our listeners? I am going to read from the book of James. Okay. So in James chapter 1, this is James, the brother of Jesus, writing to a church that he's planted, just fellow believers, right? And this is just his encouragement on faith and endurance through trials that come our way. So it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." So that is just a verse that came to mind in my encouragement to you all. We love you guys all. We love you all who listen. But I guess my encouragement to you is spiritual warfare is inevitable for the Christian lifestyle, for the Christian's life. Like, it's going to come if it hasn't yet. And it, those of you who have experienced it, like Jeremiah and I, you know that, it's sometimes it can feel weighty, it can feel very powerful. But don't lose hope, keep fighting. And even more so in that fight, do not think that you need to win the war, because the war has already been won. Jesus is the one who's won the war, and there are still daily spiritual battles that we have to face. But like James said, count it all joy when you go through trials, when you face things that are going to test your faith. I think it goes back to another verse that I can't remember the address to again, but it says that God, like the Father doesn't punish his children. He disciplines them. And so when we go through like trials, when we go through spiritual warfare in our lives, like stay vigilant, stay aware of the things that are happening around you, because God is going to use those things to actually redeem your life, redeem your faith. Like, don't be too focused on them as if they're like things that you need to do in order to enhance your spiritual well-being. It's more of a like, trust and know that the Lord has you in this fight, and that your spiritual battles are being fought for you as Jesus intercedes for us in these times. So keep up the good fight, Christian. Be vigilant, be aware, put on the full armor of God. Start doing disciplines, spiritual disciplines, habitual spiritual disciplines, like praying, like reading your Bible, journaling, biblical memorization.
That's a big one.
That's a big one. Our church is actually doing a Bible memorization thing right now. I think that's a great idea. We're doing Psalm 34. And
because I don't know where it says it, I can't throw the address, but God tells us to write his word on the tablets of our heart.
Yeah. You're right. God says that to actually a prophet. He says, my words will be on their hearts as if it was like a tablet, basically. So yeah, start, developing spiritual disciplines that are fruitful, that are life-giving to you, that are going to glorify God and honor him in the process. A really good book out there is called Habits of Grace. I don't know the author, so don't.
Well,
I don't know that one, but
he'll figure it out and I'll post it in the description.
I'll put it in the description. But Habits of Grace is an amazing book. It teaches you all about types of spiritual disciplines that you can take on to help you in your combat against spiritual warfare. Because I think there's the polar opposites there. There's spiritual warfare and there's spiritual disciplines. And if you have one, then you can face the other. If you have spiritual disciplines, then you can face spiritual warfare. But if you don't have spiritual disciplines, spiritual warfare is going to be hard.
Yeah.
So
it's like Conor McGregor says, you don't have to get ready if you stay ready.
Exactly.
Which we all know, which we all know, he is a great man of faith. Just kidding. For people who don't know who he is, he's not. But
anyway, well, that's all for our time today. I hope that this was, wherever you're at in your life, that this was something that has influenced or at least...
maybe even just shed a little light,
on the
subject of spiritual warfare. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if maybe it helped a little bit too.
Yeah. I just hope that the word of God does not return void in whatever we talked about today, which it doesn't return void. But what I'm saying is I hope that whatever we talked about today is something that will help your faith grow. And also remember that, These are not things that should be swaying your belief in Jesus. Mm-mm. Like, I think it's a testament. I think it's it's a testament of some sort to say that, like, spiritual warfare is a huge testament to God's love for us, and his absolute power to protect us. I don't know. I think I was going somewhere with that, but I know where I was going.
Well, it's good. It's good.
Thanks.
Thank you all for listening to this episode of the Dense Muffin Podcast. I'm Jeremiah.
And I'm Thaddeus.
And we'll see you the next time.
Man, that's dense.